In the spring of 1947, pregnant college student Charlie St. Clair arrives in London with her mother, ostensibly en route to Switzerland for a discreet appointment. But Charlie has other plans. Her beloved cousin Rose vanished in Nazi-occupied France, and Charlie is determined to find answers, even if it means tracking down a drunk, half-mad former spy named Eve Gardner. When Charlie mentions the name René Bordelon, Eve's reaction is immediate and visceral. Suddenly, these women from different generations find themselves bound by invisible threads of history, vengeance, and a restaurant called La Lethe. Their journey through post-war Europe will unearth secrets buried for decades and force both women to confront what they're truly searching for. What begins as a missing person case transforms into something far more profound, a reckoning with the ghosts that haunt them and the courage required to face an uncertain future. In 1915, Eve Gardner joins the Alice Network, a remarkable spy operation led by Lily, based on Louise de Bettigny's, gathering intelligence from German-occupied northern France. Eve, with her stutter and German fluency, is ideally positioned to eavesdrop on German officers while serving at La Lethe, an upscale restaurant owned by the calculating René Bordelon. Espionage proves far from glamorous. Eve memorizes troop movements while pouring brandy, hides intelligence in hairpins, and navigates checkpoints where mistakes mean death. These women face unique dangers, sexual harassment, assault, and impossible moral compromises. Men are strange creatures, Lily explains about sleeping with the enemy. If a woman surrenders her virtue to an enemy, they are confident her patriotism can't be far behind. When Eve is betrayed and tortured, René methodically breaking every joint in her fingers, she sustains physical and psychological scars that haunt her for decades. These forgotten heroines thrived like Fleurs du Mal, drawing strength from adversity while facing unimaginable dangers. The novel brilliantly examines moral gray areas under occupation. René Bordelon embodies the banality of evil, an opportunist profiting from others' misery while maintaining a veneer of sophistication. His restaurant, La Lethe, Forgetfulness, serves as a microcosm of occupation. German officers feast while the French starve outside. Resistance exists on a spectrum. The Alice Network represents organized opposition, but equally powerful are smaller acts of defiance. Rose spilling drinks on officers, Lily organizing a prison strike, or simply speaking French when German is mandated. These micro-resistances maintain human dignity under oppression. The psychological toll is immense. Eve describes how abstract dislike transformed into burning hatred after witnessing occupation firsthand, once bustling streets filled with downcast faces, while only occupiers appeared well-fed. What would we do to survive? What lines would we refuse to cross? The novel suggests most people navigate between heroic resistance and outright collaboration, making impossible choices that haunt them long after peace returns. Trauma shapes each character distinctively across both timelines. Eve's mangled hands physically manifest her suffering, while her deeper wounds include betrayal of Lila, nightmares, and numbing alcoholism. Charlie bears invisible scars, her brother's suicide after war, and her cousin's disappearance. She describes becoming emotionally detached, obsessively searching for Rose while seeking connection through meaningless encounters. Her pregnancy represents both crisis and potential healing. Finn Kilgore's war trauma from liberating Bergen-Belsen manifests as violent rage, landing him in prison after attacking a cafe owner who mistreated an elderly woman. The novel's treatment of trauma resonates because it emphasizes resilience through connection. This unlikely trio forms a makeshift family that facilitates healing. Charlie gives Eve purpose beyond revenge, Finn provides safety, and Charlie gains autonomy rather than following her parents' prescribed path. While trauma leaves permanent marks, it need not define one's existence. Throughout the novel, women's bodies become battlegrounds of autonomy and control.
In 1915, Eve confronts using her body as a tool in espionage. When Renee makes advances, she realizes she may need to sleep with him to maintain her position. Though disgusted, she approaches this pragmatically, following Lily's advice about pleasing men and preventing pregnancy. The novel portrays Eve's complex emotions: shame when experiencing pleasure with a man she despises, and her recognition that fear becomes irrelevant when something simply must be done. Pregnant with Renee's child, she views it as an invader claiming her body, just as the Germans claimed France, and seeks an abortion from Violette. In 1947, Charlie faces similar questions of bodily autonomy. Pregnant and unmarried, she's sent to Switzerland for the appointment, a discreet abortion allowing her to return to college and preserve her family's reputation. Throughout this journey, Charlie gradually claims agency, ultimately choosing to keep her baby despite social consequences and parental financial threats. The parallel pregnancies highlight how different circumstances lead to different choices, both valid. Eve's abortion represents wartime survival, while Charlie's decision marks her first step toward independence. In a world filled with betrayal and brutality, female friendship offers hope and strength in the darkest circumstances. The relationship between Eve and Lily forms the emotional core of the 1915 narrative. Despite their different backgrounds, Eve, the stammering English girl, Lily, the sophisticated French aristocrat, they develop a deep bond through their shared mission. When Eve believes she betrayed Lily under torture, Lily's forgiveness, "I forgive you, little Daisy," stands in stark contrast to Violette's condemnation. 30 years later, Eve and Charlie evolve from using each other for information to genuine friendship as they travel together. Charlie helps Eve confront her past, while Eve eventually buys Charlie a baby dress and agrees to be her child's godmother. The novel also explores solidarity across class lines through Eve's confrontation with waitress Christine, revealing Eve's complex relationship with her own choices. Quinn suggests that female friendship can be revolutionary in societies that pit women against each other, offering strength and survival in worlds designed to break them. For 30 years, Eve has lived to find and kill René Bourdelon, carrying his Luger as a talisman. When she finally confronts him, her revenge seems both justified yet hollow. Killing him won't resurrect Lily or heal Eve's broken spirit. Charlie advocates for legal justice instead, believing René deserves public humiliation and imprisonment. This tension between institutional justice and personal vengeance reflects broader questions about addressing wartime atrocities. The moral stakes rise when we learn Renee informed on Rose to the Germans, causing her death in the Oradour-sur-Glane massacre. His admission that he did so just to be safe and because it pleased me reveals chilling amorality. In the final confrontation, Charlie smashes Renee's hand while Eve fires the fatal shots. When Eve turns the gun on herself, Charlie breaks her hand to prevent suicide, a painful act forcing Eve to consider life beyond revenge. 2 years later, Eve hunts dangerous game in remote corners of the world. Their reunion in Grasse suggests that while we cannot erase painful pasts, we can build futures honoring those we've lost. Sometimes the bravest act isn't dying for a cause, it's continuing to live.